Well, we call it Conversations with Cheryl. We're going to take your phone calls, open line questions, comments on her report, and we'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back, Cheryl Jones with us, and we're going to take your phone calls, Conversations with Cheryl. Of all the kinds of topics you handle, Cheryl, and have investigated, which ones really fascinate you the most? Is it the UFOs?
Yes, I believe so, because there's so much beyond, I mean, it's just never ending, and there's, of all of the researchers and the efforts to find out what's going on, who are they, why are they here, what do they want with us, we still don't know the answer, and hopefully with new technology, the advanced technology that we have, who knows where we got it, right? Eventually, we'll have more of the answers, and we'll see what happens with SpaceX, and we'll see what happens with the race to Mars. And we, maybe not in our lifetime, but eventually, maybe it'll be discovered if that effort to move off, or that plan to move off planet ever takes place, as Edgar Mitchell always talked about.
I am fascinated with all these kinds of cases, but the ones that really fascinate me are the missile silo cases where UFOs go over our missile bases and shut them down.
Yes, absolutely. And that's been going on for a long time. And it's interesting. I know, George, you've been researching all of this and interviewing people from all of these various aspects of ufology and everything that's happened. And this has been going on for a long, long time. But now it's just beginning to surface in more of a mainstream way from time to time. It's still not really as mainstream as it should be. It's still not headline news as much as these stories should be. But so many of these stories that are being reported now, I mean, they've been around for a long, long time, and those situations have been happening a long, long time. But I thought it was interesting that Jan pointed out some things that could end up being false reports, like the Starlink, indicating the image looks like a string of pearls, and also with the drones that we have now, some of those can be mistaken, and, of course, Chinese lanterns. So things are getting more complex. I think our skies are getting more crowded, as is our planet. So all of these things come into play, and we'll see how it works out.
Okay, let's go to the calls. Stephen in Las Vegas, welcome to the program. Hi, Steve.
Hi, George. Hi, Cheryl.
Hi, Steve.
Yes, I've been following UFO since I was about 10, when I saw the Rex Heflin photos and Life magazine. The past 25 years, I've been collecting footage of UFOs, and I just keep a file of them. And the past 5 years, I've been sharing UFO news on Facebook. And you might know me, Cheryl. I post a lot of UFO news on Facebook. I was listening to Jan, and he's right. I got footage from five states, Texas, California, with the Tic Tac. Footage, and it's very clear footage.
Amazing stuff. And you do a good job, by the way, Stephen. I've seen some of your
work. I like sharing it with other people on Facebook. I have a lot of people that are interested. And if you follow UFO news, there's news out there daily. So I post what articles are being posted, what's going on, along with the researchers, lectures that you get on YouTube, I share those. But on the footage that I've been getting, Jan was right. A lot of them are orbs. About 50% of the orbs footage I get, the footage that I'm getting, these UFOs are showing themselves more and more. And I've always said that I felt that these UFOs are in control of the phenomena. They're letting us see them more and more, and they're getting closer to being filmed, not just from far distance. We're getting footage where they're getting closer and closer, and I've always felt that they're letting us see them, and maybe I think that's going to be the way to maybe a disclosure happening because people are catching them on their iPhones.
Sure. It won't come from government, that's for sure. What do you think they are, Stephen? What do you think they are?
Well, I think some of them are probes from out in the universe, probes that are coming in here. Because I get some that are spears, that are solid spears that are people film and just standing there, and then they just zoom off. So, and then you got the orbs. Now, I had a sighting in Pahrump. Well, about five of these orbs came over the mountain ridge, stood there, and just stood there moving around, and then they just zoomed off.
Wow.
So I kind of feel there's an intelligence behind these orbs.
Yeah.
You know, there's some kind of intelligence. Now, energy is light. Light could be energy, intelligence. So, you know, my question is, I guess, was, do you think that maybe they will disclose themselves to where the government now is, I think, got their back against the wall. They've admitted that they don't know that these are UAPs. I usually term UFOs, that they don't know what they are. They can't release any more video because it's a national security issue. They don't want to release it. But the footage is amazing. And then I think Jan made a good point with these witnesses. Not only there was the sighting, but the witnesses. We're getting these witnesses that are coming from military that are stepping forward.
Good witnesses.
Good witnesses. Witnesses. And I think that's really going to push it, the door open to more people coming forward and being more acceptable.
Steve, how do people find you on Facebook? How do they find your videos?
But just my page, Stephen Padilla, or The Room, The Truth Be Told on Facebook.
The Truth Be Told, okay.
Yes, Truth Be Told, and I just got 1,500 people on my page, and they follow the news.
Good for you. Well, Cheryl, what do you think of his question about disclosure? Will it come from the UFOs themselves?
Well, I think we can all speculate, but really, and I think that's a good speculation. And Stephen, yes, I enjoy your post. You really do a great job, and thank you for all of that. But we will never know for sure until it happens, or until that level of it happens.
If it happens.
If it happens. And I thought it was interesting how Jan laid out the step-by-step and all the various complications and implications, and nothing is ever simple. So there's a lot involved, and, you know, as Jan said, some people think there already has been at least a certain level of disclosure, but, of course, not full disclosure with the president stepping forth and making that proclamation. But he said he didn't think that would ever happen, which means any president.
Have you met Paul Hynek yet?
I have not met him personally.
Great guy.
I've heard him speak. I heard him. I heard your interview not too long ago with him. I thought he was absolutely excellent. And
he's funny too. He was on one of my panels at an event a couple months ago, and he's a riot.
That always helps to have some humor.
He's good. And of course, for people who don't know him, he's the son of the late Dr. J. Allen Hynek, who headed up the Project Blue Book for the United States Air Force. Mm-hmm. And the government.
And you know our dear friend Sherry Steiger, who sadly
passed away.
And who I was going to be interviewing just within days of her passing, unfortunately. But we had a conversation about her work with J. Allen Hynek. And she had worked very, very closely with him. In fact, she said on many of the cases, he would have her listen in because she was his right arm, so to speak, for the time that she worked with him. And she had some fascinating stories about that experience. And Brad, her husband, who...
What a prolific writer he was.
Wow. Over 160 books, and Sherry wrote 60 herself. But she helped write those books and wrote some of the chapters herself because of her experience with J. Allen Hynek. So we were kind of following Project Blue Book and comparing notes because I thought, you know, I was so lucky to have met her and to get an inside story from her on how she interpreted some of those shows and episodes.
Tomorrow, Cheryl, I've got Uri Geller on. He's going to be talking about the coronavirus and some other things, but he was a friend of the late Dr. Edgar Mitchell and still tells a remarkable story at how Edgar Mitchell had lost his NASA tie clasp.
Mm-hmm.
And Uri found it when he was dipping into some ice cream, like years later. Edgar's with him, and Uri's having a little bowl of ice cream, and he feels something hard, you know, like, what could this be, a peanut or something? He spits it out, and it's Edgar's tie clasp.
That's incredible. There are some things that you just can't explain, and so there has to be something to it. There just has to be something to it.
Absolutely. We're taking calls with Cheryl Jones, of course, Conversations with Cheryl. Let's go to Daniel, truck driving in Wisconsin, first-time caller. And, Daniel, thanks for driving, and stay safe, my friend.
Thank you. Thank you. Good to talk to you, George.
Perfect. Go ahead. You're on with Cheryl.
Hello.
I had some comments about the COVID-19 thing going on.
All right.
We just recently everything got shut down in Wisconsin here. It's, you know, following a few days after Illinois, it got shut down and whatnot. I drive for a company. It's a major retailer that's been deemed an essential business out here to stay open so people can get their goods during all this stuff. And all of a sudden, we have permits, and overnight, I'm a COVID-19 relief worker here. But it seems like kind of business as usual. There's a lot of I feel the economy needs to get back up and running, and, you know, people need to get back to work as soon as possible.
Yeah, I do too.
But there's a lot of jobs. I guess there is a lot of essential workers here because there's a lot of people I know that are still working, but their companies seem to be spacing them out a little bit and following all the guidelines. And, you know, I have a history of being a tattoo artist for the last 20 years.
Really?
So, yep.
Does that hurt? I don't have any tattoos. Does that hurt when you do that?
It does, but the pain is part of it. You know, you gotta earn.
My goodness.
But you know, having done that for so long, I have a real good, strong foundation of, you know, cross contamination prevention and.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want this any more than I want the flu. I have kids at home, and you know, I have one. My little one just went through preschool, and she brought me back every little bug in the world last year. And, you know, I'm stopping at the truck stops. I guess I'm a little leery because there's so many people from so many parts of the country coming in and touching the same pumps and whatnot. But
they always have, you know that?
They always have. And, you know, I'm not treating it any more than, like I said, I don't want to get this, like I don't want to get the flu. I'm not losing my mind, but I've noticed a lot of people are around us, you know, but.
All right. Well, you drive carefully, my friend. Be well. Cheryl, did you ever get the flu vaccine?
I used to, George, and I was one of those that had a really bad reaction. And
that was it. Never again.
Yes. And then I almost had bronchitis a couple of years ago and ended up with amoxicillin because I unfortunately, I had that side effect of the hives, which can be pretty dangerous should your throat swell and close.
The only vaccines I ever got was when I was a kid.
Uh-huh.
And it was out of my control. And then when I was in the Navy, when it was out of my control. I mean, they immunize you against certain things like cholera and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to get that. But I remember when I got that shot, I had to play a softball game with a bunch of buddies of mine. My arm swelled up like a basketball. I mean,
it was
unbelievable.
I don't know. It seems to me that they should come out with a test to find out who is not compatible with what's in a vaccine. We don't know what's in them.
Before you get the whole thing.
Exactly, because in this case that I just mentioned that happened to me not too long ago, the doctor wanted to give me a vaccine, and I said, hold it. I said, I'm just going to have to tell you, I'm not really good with vaccines.
Well, when they get this vaccine for the coronavirus, COVID-19, are you going to get that? Are you going to take it?
I hope not. I think there are so many natural, and I'm not a doctor, nor do I play one on TV, but I'm more comfortable with building the immune system and trying to stay healthy, and that, you know, you don't always, you're not always successful. You do the best you can, but I'm going to give it a shot. What I am concerned about is the push for some mandatory vaccines that would come down the road. Should that happen, what happens to the people who do have sensitivities and should not be taking the vaccine because of complications of allergies and so on, like I have had and other people have had them much worse? So, you know, I hope it doesn't come to that. I would think that if a product is really good, you wouldn't have to force it on people.
Oh, good point. Let's go to Ellen in Houston, Texas, where I'll be at our live event on June 13th. Hi, Ellen. Welcome to the program.
Hi, George. Hello. I have a question. I was wondering if anyone's ever taken the crop circles and arranged them by date and laid them out like a sentence and tried to read and see if that, decipher it and see if that is a message from the UFOs.
Well, a lot of people have tried to investigate crop formations, and they have done things like that. I don't think they've put everyone together, but there are a couple theories that these crop formations are either coming from above or that the planet itself is alive. There's a Gaia theory, and that it's trying to communicate with us. Cheryl, you've seen crop formations. You've talked to some people about that.
Right.
What I mean, do you think there are messages from UFOs, from ETs?
That's a good one. It is so complex, and they're so perfect, and it seems, I know there are people who have the tricksters, who have created those themselves, and I know that's possible. However, some of them are just so exquisitely designed and are done, and it seems to be, it would just be an impossible situation for them to be man-made. I don't know. I tend to believe that there is something going on with the planet. That's another one of those big mysteries. We still don't have all the answers.
No, we really don't. And, you know, I have talked to so many people about crop formations. And if you have 100 of them and 99 are made by humans, there's still one then that you can't explain.
Absolutely. There's still one. Yes, that's just like UFOs or UAPs, all of these other.
You just need that one story. That's it.
That is it. You know, I rest my case on that.
And, you know, some people argue, they say, no, 40% of them are made by ETs. It doesn't matter. Just
no,
one.
No, it really, really doesn't matter. Really doesn't matter. Now, we do have reason to believe that we do have more advanced technology in our possession than is given to the common people.
You mean shared information from ETs to government
right.
and stuff? Yeah, that's conceivable.
And in a conversation and in the interview with Jan Rich, which we didn't use in this, and we'll use it for a future show, but he does talk about his conversation with Ben Rich, who was a CEO.
Skunk Works.
Lockheed Skunk Works, yes.
It's a great story.
And
Ben Rich is no longer with us. All the great ones are gone.
Right, right, but quite an incredible conversation there, and that was with Jan Harzan, and we'll talk about that when we do the interview later.
Cheryl, we're going to come back and take some final phone calls with you, and then I'll have you give your website and email address out again so folks can get a hold of you. Cheryl Jones with us. More of your calls in just a moment. On our next Coast to Coast program, we're going live to Israel to talk with mentalist Uri Geller about the coronavirus, the lockdown in Israel, and he's got his own theories, and then we'll have special open lines. But also in the first hour, we will have our intention prayer to rid this coronavirus and get America back to work. We're going to be doing that with Sonia Grace, who's going to be leading us in the intention. So I hope you're all part of it, because every one of you counts when we're trying to do that. And welcome back. Our final segment with Cheryl Jones, our investigative reporter. And Cheryl, again, how do people email you when they need you?
They can go to my website and come through the email on my website, or spacenews@yahoo.com.
All right, and the website is CherylJonesWith2Ls.com, linked up at coasttocoastam.com. Are you familiar with the Lonnie Zamora, the late police officer in Socorro, New Mexico case?
Somewhat, yes. That has been an incredible case, one of the most incredible cases, I think.
That is the one that got Dr. J. Allen Hynek convinced that UFOs were real when he was heading up Project Blue Book and was the skeptic.
Yes. That's an interesting thing, and that occurred in New Mexico, and, you know, as you know, there were several witnesses, and there was a conspicuous flame involved. And some alleged physical evidence that was left behind, too.
Let's go to the calls. Frank in Hollywood, Maryland. Take it away, Franco.
Glad to be back with you, George. When all this is over, that Frank Sinatra song, by the way, I want to go to an Italian restaurant and just listen to Frank Sinatra songs until it closes. Now,
I don't blame you.
I want you both to comment on the following. Crop circles, how can three or four guys in the middle of the night make this imprint on the ground and remove their tools and stuff before daybreak? And then have we ruled out that this could be the imprint of a spaceship, landing imprint of a spaceship that's cloaked or invisible?
Well, they're probably a little too sophisticated to be the bottom of a spaceship that landed. We're not talking about indentations. We're talking about things that are obvious messages and riddles and things like that. But in terms of humankind doing it, it's conceivable, not all of it, but there are some very clever people who've been able to do this in the cloak of darkness. I don't know how they do it, Cheryl, because you do need flashlights and everything else. And if you're doing it in some farmer's field in the middle of the day, he's coming out with a shotgun.
Yes, that wouldn't be a wise thing to do, especially in this day and age. I don't know either. I can't even imagine how you could do it, you know, how we as humans could do that.
But it's those hucksters have done it before. I mean, they're very good at what they do, but the sophistication of some of these crop formations that I've seen lately are just astronomical.
Well, even the tricksters that do it, where do they learn to do it? Do they practice? How do they get to the level that it could even be acceptable as a so-called crop circle?
Sure. And how do you know how to stamp down a wheat field and that all goes the right way and everything else?
I grew up on a farm and I learned a lot of things, but that I did not learn. And I think it would take me a while to develop the level of skill to pull that off, if ever.
You're Annie Oakley, aren't you?
I kind of am. Yeah.
That's what I hear. Let's go to Joe in Long Island, New York. Joseph, go ahead.
Yeah, hi, Cheryl. You were talking about natural supplements. And this quercetin that they're talking about, I did check Google Scholar, for some studies. It does check out as antiviral.
What's that, the malaria drug?
No, it's just quercetin. They sell it for like $20 in health food stores, and sometimes they couple it with vitamin C. It's just a supplement. It's usually anti-inflammatory. Usually they sell it to people with joint ailments.
Turmeric, that's what you need.
Uh-huh.
Safer.
Yeah, but my question, Cheryl, is when, as a meditation expert that you are, setting the stage for meditation, I guess you wouldn't be watching a horror movie, right, before you meditate? Like, what would you do to set the stage for a good meditation?
Well, I think everyone has their own way of doing it and of calming down and moving things out of your mind that are negative and focusing on the positive, on a bright white light or whatever it takes for each and every one of us. Different people have different things, so just getting calm and letting everything go and just being in the moment.
Have you been a meditator for a long time, Cheryl?
I'm not really great at it, still learning. Sometimes I do better than others. But I find that I do believe that that things that we can't control, you really have to work on not stressing out about it. And things that we can control, those are the things that you need to focus on and try to turn it into something that's going to be more positive, or at least you minimize the damage from it.
I mean, I found myself to be pretty intuitive with a lot of different things. Even like this virus, I've got my own theories on what this is. These things just come to me. They always have. It's been, I don't want to say it's easy, but it's kind of illuminating,
I'm
saying.
And I think the previous caller was talking about the natural supplements and there's so much focus, George, on the immune system and the people who are the weakest, the elderly or those people who with the compromised immune systems. So then why isn't the focus on boosting our immune systems rather than so much focus on a vaccine? I mean, that's going to be a big part of it. But why completely overlook the boosting of the immune system, which, well, of course, it would be more natural. Herbs and vitamins and so on that would do that, and we realize that there's not as much profit in that end of it. But if it is an immune deficient disease, then wouldn't it make sense that that's where we should focus?
Absolutely. Kay's with us in Houston, Texas, first-time caller. Hi, Kay. Welcome. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. Hello.
There you go. Hello. Go ahead.
Oh, thank you. I have a couple things just to share. I have a family member that's worked for Boeing and said he made spaceships for NASA space program. And
for the secret program.
To what?
For the secret program.
Right. And say that he worked at the other Area 52, I think, and that they have the ground can open up, and they have spaceship like bigger than football field, and he said like Star Trek.
Wow.
That they do fly out, and that people can't see them because they are cloaked, and they take people to other planets. Taking real people, to other planets.
And you think, was he pulling your leg or was he telling you the truth?
He's serious.
He was.
And they take them to the Mars and to the moon. Also, he said, I believe this too. His friend told him that the so-called aliens that were on the Roswell.
Roswell, 1947.
Yes. He said an older gentleman told him he's seen the creatures. He said they were chimpanzees on a test. It's an American test. It's a spaceship. And that they were burnt tremendously.
And radiation. You said on an American spaceship?
Yeah, it looks like a spaceship, and they had chimpanzees as, acting as astronauts and testing them. But I'm not sure. I think Roswell was the real deal, Cheryl. Everything I hear.
Well, Edgar Mitchell grew up.
He grew up in Roswell. He was born there.
Right. And he had a lifetime of studying it and so many experiences along the way. You know, he became a licensed pilot at age 16. And
That's why he got to the moon.
Yeah, and was in the same community, lived almost next door, not quite, to Goddard, the father of rocketry. But it's just incredible, his life journey. But he certainly believed that it was real, and for someone like him to have grown up there and to have spent the lifetime of his passion about the topic and studying it and going on to become an astronaut and one of the 12, moonwalkers, I would take his judgment over what I might think, because he had a far better vantage point than I did.
We take your text and tweets. Tom, what do you have for Cheryl?
This one in from Rhoda in South Carolina. Please ask Cheryl if she has a favorite type of ET and what accounts for so many species.
Oh, you're asking me?
That's for you.
A favorite type? I just want them to be the good ETs and not what people call the bad ETs. And some people think, I know there are some stories with reptilians, with alien healing and all of that. So whichever species is the kindest and the nicest and are the good ones that want to help us, I'm fine with that. The evil ones, not so much.
No. The ones that want to take you or eat you,
we don't
want anything to do with them.
Yeah.
Jim in Tucson, Arizona. Welcome to the program, Jim. Go ahead, sir.
Thank you. Good morning, and
hi there.
Enjoy your show, George and Cheryl.
Thank you.
Before I describe my observation, did I miss the prayer tonight?
No, that's tomorrow night, first hour.
Oh, tomorrow night. Good, good, good. Thank you.
Sure.
Okay, here's my observation. First of all, I'm a doctor, and I don't do drugs, okay?
Okay.
But there was a beautiful sunset going down, and my house faces west, and I could tell the color was coming in through my front window, so I decided to go check out the sunset. So I opened up my front door, and bam. The best way I can describe this, it happened for seconds. I don't know how long this was tracking across the sky, if I caught the end of it, But there were these five orbs, about 45 degrees off the horizon. As far as my depth perception, they were quite a ways out. And they were bright, energetic. Of course, I'm on the east side, so it wasn't reflection off the sun. These things were bright. And the back one would disappear, and then there'd be another one that would show up at the front. And they went tracking from the north to the south, and these were fast. This is the fastest things I've ever seen. And then, bam, all of a sudden they were gone. So what I'd like to know, has anything ever been described like that as far as, in the UFO community?
We've had callers that have called in, Jim, with those kinds of stories of orbs that seem to be controlled and under any intelligence. In the conferences you've been to, Cheryl, do they talk more about orbs or physical craft?
It was more physical craft, but you know what? I thought it was interesting when Jan talked about the changes of the reporting coming in, that now there are more tic-tac reports, and he did mention, I wanted to ask the caller, were those lights in a straight line?
He's gone.
Oh, okay. Okay, because, you know, Jan did mention that they're getting a lot of reports of Starlink, which is like a string of pearls. The satellite.
But they're in order.
Uh-huh, across a straight line, and I don't know if perhaps that might have been what he may have seen.
Order indeed. Cheryl appears on our program on the last Thursday of every month, barring a holiday or so. We'll probably end up moving you on Thanksgiving one way or another, Cheryl, on something like that. But, of everything you've investigated to date, what's the one thing that puzzles you the most? Anything?
Of course, UFOs are always puzzling. You know, we don't know the answer. We don't know the propulsion. We don't know the mission. We don't know, why everything is happening as it is, why we're being, the information is being withheld. Will we ever, if there is disclosure, will we ever share in the advanced technology and on and on and on? But, there are other things that are mysterious as well. The Wolfman creature, the one that I had on the show, Jason Davis, September, October, I believe it was. Those kinds of things with such huge creatures that people are beginning to talk about and report more now as well. But I still think, as far as implications to us in the overview and the future, I think it's in the area of the UFOs.
Super. All right, Cheryl, we'll talk to you in about a month with some more great, stunning reports. Cheryl Jones, our investigative reporter. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Latasseur, Stephanie Smith, Chris Burrows, Tim Bedall, George Knapp, and Ian Punnett, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.